Hey, comedy fans, welcome to another edition of the Comedy at the Carlson Cast. I'm your host, Vinny Paulino. Joining me in studio today, Rich Aronovich. Today's episode is brought to you by our friends at Three Heads Brewery, the makers of Rochester's most delicious beer. Remember, do good things and always be kind. And now, let's start the show. Good morning, Carlson Casters. Welcome to another edition of the Carlson Cast. I'm joined today by our headliner this weekend. He's a renowned comedian and actor, and lately his TikTok has been garnering views by the millions. He's a dancing machine. It's Rich Aronovich. Good morning, Rich.
Thank you for having me.
I could not be happier to have you.
Well, you don't have a choice.
Either do you.
That's
We're
true.
In this boat together, dude. We're stuck with each other this morning.
Let's row. I'm ready to do it.
I don't know if I want to row.
Yeah, okay, I'll row. You steer.
That was might be deep. A little too much work.
That was very deep.
Yeah.
There was a moment of like, ooh.
I was like, that's responsibility.
Yeah, that was...
That's serious responsibility, the steering of the boat. That's us. So, Rich, good morning. I'm glad you could make it this morning.
Thank you. I'm glad I can make it too.
I don't know where to start with you because you've been making me laugh nonstop for about a week.
Oh, good.
Since we started... Since I discovered your TikTok, when did you realize you were such a marvelous dancer, sir?
So I grew up in New Orleans.
Yep.
I remember when I was a kid, there was a second line near Jackson Square. And for some reason, as a kid, 6'5", I busted out, grabbed the umbrella and started dancing. And I got all those accolades.
Like
and
singing in the rain kind of dancing?
It's more funky dancing.
Okay.
Okay, so I started doing some funky dancing, but I'm a kid and I can actually dance. And the crowd went wild and I was like, oh, I like this high. I like this attention. I like this feeling. And I could always dance. Now, it's weird because I'm straight.
Yep.
And straight guys who can dance, it's sort of like, it's a weird sort of thing because you have to be... have sort of like a fearless thing going on, and you also have to get over that stigma.
You have to feel that music,
right?
So which is why I cannot dance.
Well, so I can't because I get
too
requests.
Much self-conscious.
Exactly. I have to be what you think of me is none of my business. I have to be completely free. And what's interesting is what happened was that the pandemic happened. Comedians think we're essential workers. We're not. We figured that out really quickly. The audience is the essential workers, right? So I was missing my performance high. I was sitting around doing nothing. I had finished Netflix.
Everything on Netflix.
I finished Netflix. And when you get to the end, it says, welcome to Blockbuster Video. Anyway, so I finished Netflix. I had nothing to do. So I put out a few, I put on weird clothes because I have all these costumes that I'm constantly trying to, and I was doing all kinds of videos. I was doing a lot of Trump videos. I do an impression of them. It's not political. It's just fun. But people will still... You know, their rage has somewhere to go.
Okay.
Okay. So I'm not a political guy, but I like doing the voice. It's a great voice. So people get mad.
How hard is it not to go in and out of that all day?
Well, it's very, you know, it's fantastic because I start to think like him. I start to think this podcast can be a total disaster. It could be great. It could be the greatest podcast of all time. And we're talking about dancing. Dancing is very important. A lot of great people dance. Arthur Miller, great, great guy.
I did not
Fred Astaire. Fred Astaire. Love his stairs. He's got great stairs, fantastic stairs. They're winding. If you go to his house, he's got great stairs. And of course, Shadow. Anyway, so I put out a video and it went completely viral. Now, what TikTok does is it feeds a part of your brain that wants attention.
Sure.
And I'm an attention, can I say the WHORE?
You could say
I could
any
spell
word
it out.
You want.
I love that I spelled it out. Like your audience would be like, did he? Well, hold on, honey. He spelled it out. That's okay. Yeah, I'm an attention whore. So it started feeding that part of my brain that I'm missing so much.
Yeah.
And also I was getting a lot of comments like, this is really helping. This made my day. And I'm going like what I try to do is I try to give, not take, right? So I want to give to the audience. I want them to have a good time.
Sure.
I want them leaving going, I feel better than I came in.
Yeah.
So so I'm going, oh, this is helping. Now my parents hate it. I mean, absolutely hate it. My mom and Dad sat me down. They had like an intervention. Like, we
get
need,
out.
And so now it's a little rebellious thing. So they're
rebellious.
Yeah, it's sort of like a middle, because they're unaccepting that this is actually helping, because it's something different. Comedians doing this is, there's a zillion of these.
Too many.
There's too many.
I wish everyone else would stop.
Saturated market. Comedians putting out stand-up content. One of those, you know, I've had a few of those go well, but this got me most attention, and from like big people in the business. Like, I've got, you know, I don't want to be a name dropper, but since you asked, you know, I got on the radar of Carney Wilson and Alex Gornischelli. Well, Alex Gornischelli is a friend of mine, but she's a famous chef. Guy who created American Dad. Howie Mandel just did a duet with me.
I just saw that. It was amazing.
Yeah. And a lot more that I don't even know about.
Yeah.
Right. So I don't know. You know, it's like it's somehow it's working, and you're going like the end of the conversation. Are you having fun? Are you helping? Don't even think about anything else. Are you having fun? Are you helping? And if I'm helping people, especially, this was a crazy year and a half. Yeah. Everybody's fear was coming out sideways on both sides. Yeah. Right. The left was worried that this is a big pandemic. The right was worried about economic. Everybody was freaking out.
Yep.
So and so what happened, like when 9/11, we had a unified enemy. We could all now we're each other is the enemy.
So what happened here is Rich was like the little girl who put the flower into the barrel of the gun, but he danced his way up there to
do
it.
I kickball chain shuffle all the way to the gun.
That's it. With his little flower, with his little daisy.
And I went, bah.
Right in the barrel.
Yeah. And so I think the first, I know JJ Fad, one of the members, did a duet with me to one of my things. Like, so I was getting
so wild.
Yeah, it's crazy. So I was getting some attention. It's very different.
Uh-huh.
No one's doing this. It's a unique, like, okay, so I have a crazy hook shot or a back that not everybody, like, I could do the sky hook. Yeah. All right, so do the sky hook. Why not? It's, if you know, it's not hurting anything. I've had some haters and some negative stuff, and that's always a good sign.
Of course.
That's a great sign.
So can I ask you two follow-up questions
here?
My first question is, number one, you're telling me you had the costumes before you started doing the dance hit?
I purchased. So as it started to take off, I put some money into it.
I understand.
Everyone's like, where'd you get that? I'm like, it's called the internet.
Because you were just like, I went to the closet, grabbed a costume.
No, I have, because I've always been doing, I've always, you know, my comedy has just been my fuel. Like, it's my soul. So I always had, you know, been doing sketches and stuff. So I've had some costumes.
Sure. So like, I guess my other question here is, as a comedian, you've been performing for a while.
A long time.
I mean, you played the Old Club in Webster. I remember.
I played the Comics Cafe.
The Comics Cafe. Absolutely. Yeah. We're going back a ways here.
A long time.
Now, you're telling me you started doing dancing around like 6 years old. You're jumping around on the streets.
I did it.
But what I'm saying is, how weird is it for you now that this feels like it's coming full circle?
Yeah, it's pretty, it's
gotta
very
be a little
weird.
Surreal.
Yeah. I mean, it's also like, it's hard to maintain because I only have a few moves. Like, you're speaking with your body, and I'm not a trained dancer. I could do the little hippie thing. I could do the little, I can make my hip, I could do a few moves.
Sure.
And then I always try to do something where there's a little surprise, there's a little prop, there's something where it's like, okay, and weird clothes. That's the three things I figured out, you know, the magic number. I'm like, weird clothes.
Prop?
Some sort of prop, or not always, but try to. But like, even like a little 10-15 second vignette, you know, like,
sure,
you know, my friend, I don't know if you know Rich Scheidner.
I know Rich.
Yeah, Rich and I are very close, and Rich called me. He's like, you gotta do the dancing. That's what's gonna do it for you. Do the dancing. I'm like, okay. And he's like, no one's doing this, do it. And I was like, all right. And so I was like, I started only doing that, and then I was like, I want to go back to doing sketches and stuff. But TikTok, once they decide what you are, that's what you are. So I'll do the other stuff, but they won't turn on the faucet of the accolades like they will for the dancing.
Well, like I said, you've been performing stand-up for a while, and I think it's great that these worlds are kind of coming together for you and people are paying attention to what you're doing. But I want to talk to you a little bit more about the actual stand-up aspect of what you do, because I know, like, at the club we've been pumping videos and showing all sorts of silly stuff, but this is a fun show. This is a really good, accomplished stand-up comedian show.
Yeah, and it's funny because I'm starting to bump up, like, hey, record every show, and I'm like, I need to put out more stand-up so people like know, oh, no, he's actually, because and last night's show was awesome. I mean, I'm not blowing smoke up my own rear end, but
people were texting me last night. I was on the road, and someone was just texting me, hey, he's killing it.
Yeah, it was great. And I told everyone, you know, send your friends, come back. And I want to, hopefully I can reestablish myself in Rochester. Because it's been a minute since I've been here. And I love this club owner. And I would say that off the air.
Everybody loves Marky.
Yeah, Mark, I mean, it's I don't know if it's Mark is such a good guy or there's so many bad guys.
They're really bad guys, but he's a fantastic guy. He's a great guy.
Not a bad hombre.
No, he's a great guy, and he treats you fairly. Like I was, you know, because really it comes down to numbers, right?
That's, sure.
And so you could have. So I think one of the traps in the business is like the club owner's got to pay the bills. They got to pay the staff. They want to make some money, and what happens on stage is less important than getting people here. But what I think is a mistake is that you have people here, and if the show is not of quality, which I've seen the roster, they're all quality shows.
Yep.
He doesn't book schlock. But there's some club owners who will book like a novelty act because they were on I could talk about him. Screech was a terrible comedian.
Yeah.
But he was Screech. So he'd bring people in. They'll see him one time, and they'll leave going, "The hell was that?" You know, or whoever. I don't mean to talk crap about Screech. Yeah, I'm sure he was a fine act. I never worked with him, but
I did once.
Yeah, and I've not heard great things.
Yeah,
I mean,
we don't talk ill of the dead.
Yeah, No, that's who you talk ill of.
What's
he gonna
good do? Point.
What's he gonna do? Haunt me?
So listen, he stunk.
Saved by the Bell. He's not gonna haunt me. No, I'm sure his act was right. Can we delete that? I feel bad now.
No, right.
You shouldn't talk ill of the dead. Mm,
no, we're live.
All right.
Sorry, Screech.
Now this Jesus. Let me tell you about him. Oh, sorry. So, anyways, you know what my point is. I don't need to use that example. Now I feel like a jerk off. If there's let's say an anonymous act, they're sure. Not so great. Then the audience, then they have a bad feeling for the club.
There's a thing that happens. I feel where stand-up doesn't get the respect that it deserves from some people who may have other areas of success in the entertainment business where they decide, you know what, I want to make a quick buck. I'm going to go do stand-up. I think the good example that I like to use is Charlie Sheen's when he decided he was going to go do a stand-up tour.
Great. So we're naming names. Okay,
yeah,
now
absolutely.
I don't feel bad.
He's alive. Right. We'll piss right on him.
Well, yeah, listen. I get it. Like the whole thing about a good stand-up is that we make it look easy.
Yep.
We make it look like, a lot of my show is improv, but some of it is – like Robin Williams improv.
Oh, yes. I just thought of this 40 years ago.
It's like it's a bit that just sort of fits into the narrative.
Yep.
So it makes it look like it's conversational and easy. And people all say, oh, I could tell a joke. And they go, I could. You know how many times I hear I can do this? And I just
all
look
the
at
time.
Them all the time. And I'm like, go ahead and try. You are flying a plane with no map, no...
25,000 feet. We're gonna be in Atlantic City.
You have to figure out beginning, middle, and end yourself, and the only way to do it is through experience.
Now that's true. You had a first time doing comedy.
Yes.
Everybody has a first time doing comedy.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. You always have to remember the people who sit back and say, I want to do comedy or I can do that. At some point, to get where you are, you have to step on the stage. When was the first time you got on stage, and what was that like for you?
So it's a pretty cool story. This is a good story. So I was 18 or 19, and I grew up in New Orleans.
Yep.
And there's a place called Movie Pictures where they would show a movie, and they would serve alcohol, and you could smoke. That's how long ago this was. And I was outside. I was bored with the movie. And I went outside, and I'm making this dude laugh. I'm being, I had no outlet. I didn't have... Like now you can, when you talk to a new comic and I'm like, why are they always on? Because they don't have an outlet. I have an outlet so I can save it for that.
Oh my God.
Right?
You're so right.
Yeah.
I never thought of it like
right.
that.
Right. Right.
New comics are always on.
They're always on.
If you are a new comic, stop it.
Yeah.
Please.
Or get good. Anyway, so don't be a Screech. So they I'm really going. I can't believe I'm going to go to hell, and they're going to be like, "This is your guardian angel, Screech."
Yeah, I don't think they give you guardian angels in hell.
I don't know how it works. You're right. Yeah. You're right.
And everybody knows Screech is in heaven.
Yeah, 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 pissing on hell. So I'm making this dude laugh. He said, "Listen, we have an improv show, and if you tell a joke and win, you come back and do 5 minutes to open our show." And I went. I told a street joke.
That seems like a really terrible way to do a show.
This is not, this is, New Orleans. It's not,
I hear you. I'm just saying, like, to have somebody like, okay, you can tell one street joke. Now you got
No. It's the contest was tell the street joke and then you come back and do 5 minutes.
But that's what I'm saying. If you can tell one street joke, doesn't mean you can do 5 minutes.
Right. But I think the supply and demand is not like New York City.
Understood.
It's very different. So anyways, that guy was a guy who was doing his – he's a doctor doing his residency in New Orleans.
Okay.
And you may have heard of him. His name is Dr. Ken Jung.
I have heard of him.
Yes. So that was Dr. Ken. And I will tell you, behind Ken's back, he is a phenomenal human being. One of our – we had a very small comedy community, and one guy was dying of cancer, and Ken, being a superstar that he was,
cured him.
He cured him. That's right. He flew back. He flew in and was like, you know, because I've seen people get famous and change, and he didn't. He remained a humble, cool dude, and came in and tried to help this guy, and was part of the whole.
That's amazing.
Experience. Yeah. And So that's see it now. I'm undoing my karma from the earlier. I gotta watch my mouth.
He came in and he did like a bunch of jokes about Screech to the guy to make him feel better.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's it. And now you're a comic.
Yeah.
How long have you been doing it?
Oh, boy. First time I stepped on stage was 2001, but I'm not counting that. So I'll say maybe a good 10 years, 11 years.
Why aren't you counting it?
Well, because I didn't do comedy much after.
Oh, okay.
So you're a hobbyist. Cumulatively. I tried to be a hobbyist.
Yeah.
And then I got out of it. But then I got back into it and I went hard. So I'm going to say like 11 years.
Yeah, it's all experience. It's all like stage time. Every young comic, like, how do I? I'm just like, last night, this girl said, you know, and she started, and I just said, I can't, because what only advice I'm going to give you is to do what I do. And that doesn't mean that's going to work for you.
Sure.
So I said, you just got to get on stage, and whatever is going to guide you, like, my mouth writes better than my hand.
Mm-hmm.
My mouth writes better than my hand. So I said, and I can only get that through that euphoric experience of the audience exchange.
Now, you've been around the block. Let me ask you this question. Mm-hmm. This is a debate that we have around here at the club all the time, and I'm interested to hear your thoughts. Mm-hmm. The question is there such a thing as bad stage time?
Yes.
What is bad stage time to you, Rich?
If you're going on stage and no one's paying attention, they're talking amongst themselves, there's nothing that can get done other than you can question old jokes. You can question yourself as a human. I was in L.A. And my friend, you know, and he brought me, and no one was paying attention. I went on to like, I could not hear myself and I was amplified.
Yeah.
That's bad stage time. There's no reason. What am I doing here? If you're not listening, I'm not into it. And it was a horrific experience.
Yeah. I feel like that the stage time is stage time mantra. Yes, but there is the caveat.
I mean, this is why I don't. Like there's this guy, God bless him. You know, he was a hobbyist and he quit and came back and he had me do a show and I walk in and there was like 10 to 15 people paying attention. And then the whole bar didn't. And I was like, this is why you have to charge a cover, because they have to value what you're doing up there. They have to have some sort of investment. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because if it's the worst shows are those free for alls.
Yep. The comedy pop up comedy show in the corner of a bar.
Yeah,
when the game's on.
Yeah, people are like, why is that crazy man talking?
And why are they trying to turn down the volume on the TVs?
Right. It's like you have to know, like it has to be a contract.
Yeah.
The audience has to know what's happening. That's why like when I get the call for a private party and they're like, we're gonna surprise, I'm like, no, you don't wanna surprise them. There's a mentality, there's an excitement, there's an investment of emotions that you're going to go have a good time, you have expectations. I will meet those expectations.
Yep.
I will meet your expectations, but there's gotta be a contract between audience and comedian. We both wanna have to do it.
Yeah.
Open mics. The only reason I think that, you know, because you know how comics laugh, they laugh like this.
Uh-huh.
Right.
There is a weird thing that happens when you start doing comedy professionally where you turn off your ability to laugh at things unless they're insanely hysterical.
Yeah, like I have people that make me laugh, but it's so analytical. You're so into it. It becomes sort of, oh, that's a well-written joke. Oh, that's very well. You know, I try to laugh.
Yeah.
Even if it's like instead of doing that, I want to encourage people. Again, I'm a giver. Sorry, Screech.
Did you hear that down there, Screech?
You hear that? you know, I guess why I'm so bitter about that. I'm going to ADD for a second.
Please.
It's because I have done so much dupeing, and I'm not a household name. And this dude backed into what we do.
Yeah.
I mean, I've handed out flyers in New York City. I've carried garbage. Mm-hmm. I've put on a fake hat with a ponytail, sat people, then took it off so they wouldn't recognize. I'm the guy just sat them and did stage time. I've done, you know, I've opened for guys who were abusive. I've opened for guys that were great. I've done everything I can to get on stage, to get a real audience.
Yeah.
And when someone just sort of goes, it's there's a little part of me that's, I guess, jealous.
100%.
A little envious, like going, ah, or like, and that's this new social media thing. Like when I have friends who are TikTok stars or Instagram stars and I sit down and I go over their act and I go, no, put this here, punch that up. Oh, here's a joke. And they go, great. And I'm like, but this is all talking about the gym. You got to go lift the weights. So yeah. You got to be willing to suffer. You got to go bomb. You got to figure. And they're like, wait, what? I'm like, you have to go do it. I'm not going to – you can't talk – sit next to a Peloton and go, I'm going to turn on the TV and then get in shape. You've got to get the sweat. You got to do it.
Huh. And they're not – That's what I've been doing wrong. Okay.
Okay. Yeah, that's – you got to actually get on the bike.
I'm going to write that down
real fast. What was I talking about before that? I totally –
Well, we were talking about comedians not laughing at each other.
Yeah, so the thing about open mics that are good is that it creates a camaraderie. Like you'll find your people. You know, I have friends – I mean, God, I hate to be name dropper, but – fine. Like I was, I remember
we Zach would, Morris, AC yeah, Slater. We
yeah,
get
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah. No, Ed Helms and yep. I were close. I saw him. He's blown up to a megastar, yeah. And we have a relationship.
All your friends were in The Hangover, but you.
Brody, I know Brody very well.
Oh,
God rest his soul.
R.I.P.
Ken Jeong.
Yep, yep.
I didn't know Zach, but I knew of him.
Right.
And I don't know Brad, but Bradley Cooper was a comedian. But I do know a lot of people. I know fancy. I know Kevin Hart before he's Kevin Hart. You know. So there's a different relationship. So when you see like Aziz is always nice to me.
Yeah.
And it's because they know. Like I knew them before. It was like. Their thing. And so when I see – I went to like the closing party for Jon Stewart's Daily Show.
Uh-huh.
And there's all these megastars. And Ed and I are talking like you and I are talking.
Yeah.
Right? So it's like just a very natural thing where it's different when I'm like talking to like John Oliver. It's sure. Different. There's a different energy.
Yeah.
Because his brain is going, what does he want? What does he want? What does he want? Because that's a big thing. Like, yeah. What are you trying to get from me? What are you trying to get from me? Because that's what happens. People start, you know, my friends who are getting further up in the business. I'm like, oh my gosh, people are just, they just don't have any, like, they're motive people. It's very obvious. It's,
take me with you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it doesn't really work that way.
Not a lot of room on the stand-up ladder to go up with people.
Yeah. I mean, that's,
it just doesn't really work that way. But I think it's interesting when you talk about open mics and getting better and comics not laughing at each other. I've noticed that. It seems to be like when a comic walks up to you and tries to do material at you, there's one or two things that could happen. Your eyes could roll back in your head, or you turn into like a professor and you're like, all right, let's sit down. Let's get out the blueprints and the schematics.
Yeah.
And then you start talking incredibly clinical about it.
Well, yeah. That's what the whole comedian was about, the documentary.
Yeah.
I see comedy and I want to help if the person is willing. I made the mistake 2 nights ago. Gaffigan has a new bit and I was like, and I've known Jim for many years, but we're not close. I'm not in that circle. So I feel like I overstepped because I went, oh, what if you did this? And he kind of lit up and then he thought about it and he's like, and then I'm like, why am I trying to give one of the greater writers of our generation, you know, ideas? And it's because I just want to help.
Love of the game.
Yeah. And it wasn't because I like, oh, he'll take me on tour. I was like, oh. And like Jessica Kirsten, who's going to come to this club away. Hi, Lisa.
Jessica here. I love Jessica.
Yeah, Jessica's great. One of my best friends. I always, because we have a very similar sensibility. We're like brother and sister. We have a similar style. I watch her and I'm always, my brain's always going, and she's very open to me making suggestions and helping.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want anything from her.
That's
other
the relationship.
Than, that's our relationship. We're best friends. You know what I mean?
Now, I got to ask you this, Rich, because you mentioned something earlier that I wanted to go back to. Your parents had an intervention for you about
They
dancing.
Literally sat me down and said,
yeah. It's you and your sister, right? There's just two kids?
Yeah.
And your sister is a very successful attorney.
How do you know this?
Because I know everything.
Yeah, my sister is a – yes. My sister is one of the – my sister's amazing. She and I are very close. She is – she is chief counsel – used to be E-Trade, now Merrill Lynch.
Wow.
Meaning like – you know, just being female in that position is unheard of. But just being male, I mean, it's like a very
– it's a hard job to get.
Yeah, it's a very – she's worked her – she works exceedingly hard.
And so at some point, your parents are looking at her, and then they're looking at TikTok, and they're seeing you dance, and they felt the need to sit you down?
Yeah, it's a – I mean, look, my brother-in-law took a case to the Supreme Court. That's like 2% of those cases get there.
Yeah.
And he won.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. And I, Howie Mandel, yeah.
But they were like, hey, listen, can you stop dancing?
Yeah. They support That's the idea nuts. Of me doing what I want to do, but they also like, I think it's also like, I'm not embarrassed about my body.
Sure.
I have a dad bod. I look like a melted candle. I'm cool with it.
Yeah.
I don't care. And it's also like, I really hate the idea of how materialistic and how... I mean, I have a son, but if I had a daughter, I would be going crazy because it's all this like constant image, especially with social media.
Yeah.
It's like, you got to look this way. You got to look this way. No, no, you don't.
Nope.
No, you don't. And,
amen.
Yeah. Look at you. Yeah. Right. You're very hot. You're a hot guy.
Thank you.
You're a really good looking guy.
Same barber
There's
as Trump.
There's more to love. So it's, I don't, you know, some people, every, look, it's like whatever your thing is. You know what I mean? Some people like skin. Some people like, it doesn't have to be. And that's why I hate Kim Kardashian so much, is because you have really turned up the heat on materialism. And it's like you're famous to be famous, but there's no talent there. Sing, dance, do something.
Well, again, we are a weird culture that enjoys celebrity that I just will never understand. At this point, I feel like I'm 39 now. I feel like I'm about to hit that wall of not understanding what new kids, what the new stuff that all the kids are into.
You're boss. And, you're so boss.
Well, no, I'm trying to understand the lack of talent that people have that are still able to be famous. And like you said, people back into the business that I love.
Yeah.
Just out of nowhere.
The people don't understand how hard it is to write a new joke, to perform a new joke. I have jokes that do not work and I don't know why. Mm-hmm. I have jokes that work and I don't know why. But the only way I do it is by willing to go up there and hear silence or go, oh, that one didn't work. Now, I'm smart enough to protect them. I put it between two jokes that work so that it's not like I'm going to lose the audience.
Sure.
But I'm, you know, I come up with these things and then I want to, and I'm like, oh, that's funnier in my mind. Okay. It only works out of the mouth,
right,
into the ears, and then it's immediate feedback. Right? That's the only way we know.
100%. It's literally, it's an experiment. Everything about comedy is an experiment, a live experiment. And you could see Rich 4 more times this weekend here at the Carlson. Let me just throw that plug out there. CarlsonComedy.com. Yeah. Get your tickets.
7 and 9.
For those folks who are coming, what should they expect to see this weekend, Rich?
No dancing. You're not going to see me dancing on stage.
You got to go to the TikTok for the dancing.
The TikTok, that's the outlet for there. You're going to see high energy. You're going to see, I'm an equal opportunity offender. Do not believe in my safe space is the stage. So I hit everybody. I do it with the eyes of love. I try to celebrate everybody's differences. We laugh together. We come together. That's my whole thing. If you get easily offended or triggered, I don't know. I had a conversation, Williamsburg. And I'm a central guy, so I'm not like,
yeah.
I'm not super left, I'm not super right, I'm just in the middle. Each issue I care about and I have, you know, my own thoughts on that I don't try to convince anybody. And I had someone come up to me after the show, I was offended by a lot of the things you said. And by the way, I'm non-binary. And I was like, yeah, I hate Bitcoin too. I don't know what your point is. But I mean, those people are all annoying. Right. Dojo coin. But I just, I come with the idea that you know, I go up to the line. I don't cross it. Maybe I cross it. I don't know. But if you get easily offended, go golfing. Go play hopscotch. I don't know.
Yeah.
This is not for you. This is not for the – it's – and I don't think a lot of people are like this. I think it's really the fringe. You know, if comedians get very afraid of getting canceled. You know, I've scrubbed the internet. I'm like, oh, that could be – oh, that's a – you know, and I don't – it's intention. You know what I mean? Like if someone uses the N-word, you're like, oh, cancel them. I'm like, but they're black.
Right.
Right. So it's like, oh, wait, cancel. And I'm like, no, don't cancel them. Let's, you know, also like, let's allow the possibility that we're flawed and people can have a bad day. Now, I get there's some things where, you know, like when Kramer's yelling out the N word, okay, that's
yeah,
too much.
Cancel.
Yeah.
Fine.
I get that. Okay. Yeah. Fine. Okay. All right. There's something really dark inside of him that got unleashed. There's something, I don't know. I mean, but people have bad days, you know, and then people who will go on to the next thing to be outraged about.
Yeah.
You know, and again, I think it's a lot of the fear coming out sideways. Yeah.
I feel like the issue really isn't comedy audiences with this. Yeah. I feel like the incident,
the bloggers. The
issues are the people who show up at a comedy show having no idea what's going on, and they walk in and don't realize that the world of comedy, there's lots of different opinions. There's lots of different ways people say things, and not everything is for everyone.
Right. Not everybody's – and guess what? You know, I don't have to – I watched Chappelle's TED Talk. Last special. I think he's had phenomenal comedy. This last thing to me was not – there was – I didn't love it, but I didn't have to – I don't have to write about it. I don't have to blog about it. I don't have to crap on him because he's still alive. If he was dead, I'd be all over it.
Yeah.
No, but I
Screech, save him. Chappelle a spot.
Yeah, I just switch the channel. That's an option. I can go, oh, I don't like the Home Shopping Network. Next. Oh, I don't like, Real Housewives of Reality. Next.
We don't need the I don't like the Home Shopping Network. It should be off the air.
Yeah, that's what I mean. That was one of the things. My mom said, I'm getting calls about your dancing, and they're basically trying to get my mom to tell me to stop doing what I'm doing. It's like going
to
a restaurant.
Who called your mom?
And she wouldn't tell me.
Who called your mommy?
Yeah, exactly.
Who called your mommy?
She wouldn't tell me.
Who do you think it was?
I think it was her sister.
You think it was your aunt?
I think it was my aunt. But that's my guess. I have no idea. It could be one of the friends. The point is, like, if I go to a restaurant and I don't eat salmon and there's salmon on the menu, I don't call the owner and go, take salmon off the menu. I don't eat salmon. Nobody eats salmon. I just go, I don't order it. Yep. I just don't order it. That's all you got. It's an option. You just not order it.
Yep.
If you could easily.
Lots of things are allowed to exist, folks.
Right. Lots of things can exist. And when in some of the jokes that I heard from Chappelle, they didn't land with me. Now, I'm a comedian first, so I'm a free speech guy. I'm like, do whatever you want. I didn't like that, but I said, but it's not for me. And I didn't lose my mind over it. It's also like, you know, if I have a bad day at the office, okay. But if a surgeon has a bad day, then someone dies. So it's not that deep. You know, people don't die. See, I think that everyone, like I grew up, I got beaten up. I got punched in the face for being Jewish. So if you say something that's like, I've heard some pretty offensive, I go, oh, that's offensive. Didn't make my eyes water. Didn't make my nose swollen. You know what I mean? I go, didn't that my feelings will be okay. I'll get over it. Yeah. You know?
And I love Jimmy Schubert's old line. I have one feeling. I dare you to hurt it.
Right.
But I'm just saying that I think you're correct. There's plenty of room for everything. And if you're easily offended, stay home. I'm with you there.
Yeah.
But Rich's show is going to be high energy and a lot of fun. You have a great opener with you this weekend. Dario's going to be featuring. So
great guy. His mom and dad, and they came last night.
Oh, yeah.
Such nice people. She's great.
His mom's a sweetheart.
Sweetheart. Laughing at everything.
Right. Watch out for the aunt, though.
Well played, sir.
Thank you.
Well played, sir.
Thank you. I try.
You're well played.
Now, go see Rich. And you can follow Rich on Instagram, TikTok, wherever you follow social media, at Rich is Funny.
One word.
One word. At
Rich is Funny. I used to have Big Hair Comic.
Interesting.
And then someone stole my website, and I didn't want to pay them for it. I got really – like, you know, when it lapses, and you're like, oh, God, I gotta renew.
Did someone just, like, go in and steal it?
Yep, and then they held it hostage. And my ego said, I'm not paying for my own website.
Yeah.
So I got rid of it. Now, I might go back to it, but that means I can never cut my hair. I cut my hair for a movie before, and then I was like, how am I going to sell audiences going, I'm Big Hair Comic, looking with your hair?
I'm going to tell you something right now.
Yeah.
Rich is Funny, greater than Big Hair Comic.
You just made my day. You just made my day. Do you understand?
No, I want you to know that. I mean that. That's what I think. That's my opinion.
Thank you.
I think that Big Hair Comic, I guess, is memorable, but Rich is Funny is very simple.
Yeah.
And people will remember your name.
Rich is Funny. Rich, opposite of poor, is funny.
So let me ask you one last question before we get out of here this morning. We have a lot of young performers who watch this show who want to get better at comedy.
Quit.
Who want to do something.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, well, that's the advice. The question that I have, and I ask everyone this because I think it's really a good to get a lot of different people's opinions on this.
Mm-hmm.
If you had to start all over again, Rich, if you the last 25 years didn't happen and you decided today you were going to be a stand-up comic, how would you start? What do you think you would do in 2021?
What would I do differently?
No, what would you do now? We're talking 2021.
Not differently.
All the experience is gone. Okay. But we are in the year 2021. As your experiences you see now, if you were just starting, how would you do it?
So I would treat it like I was owning a restaurant.
Okay.
So not only do I have to be a great chef, meaning the show's got to be great,
mm-hmm.
but I've also got to do the social media, mm-hmm. the videos, all the other stuff to get the attention while I'm developing the act,
yeah.
the dishes.
Yep.
People are coming to the restaurant for the dishes, but mm-hmm. you got to have good atmosphere. You got to have good service, everything.
Mm-hmm.
And be nice to everybody. Be nice to everybody, not just because it's the right thing to do, but the owner of this club was not, I didn't meet him as the owner of the club. I met him as the guy who was kind of running the room.
Yeah.
You know, he was sort of, I don't know if he was the
manager.
Boy,
did Mark move right up the ladder, didn't he?
Right, but what my point is, like, the wait staff runs the clubs. The owner will always ask the wait staff, is this person funny? Now, if you're a shitty person, you don't tip, you're drinking too much, you're causing problems. As funny as you are, they're going to say, he's an asshole. Don't bring him back.
Yeah.
Don't bring her back. Don't bring them back.
Yeah.
Right?
They, them.
They, them, thus, thy, thou. No, vosotros. Don't bring vosotros back. Whatever your pronoun is, it's confusing as a grammarist, and but I'm not, with it. I'm not. It's not the hill I'm willing to die on. I'm with you.
And you're not coming back.
But you're not going to come back. You know, because that, and also like, I mean, I can't, they know the business more than anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And then they also know what funny is because they're in the room.
Mm-hmm.
And they really know which comics can do the job, which the greatest club in New York City is the Comedy Cellar.
Mm-hmm.
The owner will watch the video, but they will ask the staff, how's this new comic doing? And you're nice to everyone, you have a chance.
Mm-hmm.
Your stage performance will speak for itself. But if you're, you know, like if you're a jerk,
The comedy world loves good people. If you're a good person and you're fun to be around and you're a good hang and you know how not to cause problems and you're funny on stage, those are important things. Those are intangibles.
I, in my younger egotistical days, which you have to have an insane ego to think you're going to be a star. There has to be an unreasonable detachment from reality.
Absolutely.
So I was a cocky young jerk. When I was 18 doing this.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I went by the name Smooth Daddy Johnson.
Yeah, I have that written down here.
Do you understand how insane that is?
Johnson.
I'm in New Orleans, which is like 62% black, and I'm going by the name Smooth Daddy Johnson looking like I do. That's not normal.
No.
My only excuse is I was 18. I don't know what to tell you. I thought, you know what, this will make me memorable. But no, you can't. You know, put lipstick on a pig. I had to have the act, and I didn't have it. I had all kinds of crazy. I had boxes and hats and characters. Eventually, I found my voice. But the point being is, what was the point? Boy, my ADD is awesome.
It's great. We covered a lot of stuff today.
Yeah. I'll start one sentence and I'll finish another one from before.
Which is amazing. If you listen to this back in sections, you will understand yeah. everything.
Yeah. The point being is follow Rich's Funny.
Get that plug in.
Come see the shows 7 and 9 tonight and tomorrow.
Absolutely.
I would say this every time, but you're a damn good interview.
Thank you.
And I actually mean it this time. You're really good. You're listening and we're going back. That was good jazz.
I like jazz.
That was good jazz. That was maybe the coffee helped. I don't know. I bought this because I'm pretending to be healthy. You see, I have one sip. Orange, cranberry, and pomegranate juice. Cold pressed.
I don't know what that is.
I don't know. That's like... I'm trying to
cold press. What do they
now.
Charge you less?
I want to be healthy. I want to.
Yeah, that's overrated. So
what, being healthy?
Yeah, absolutely.
No.
Now, Rich, you have played Rochester before. I told you I'd let you go, but
no,
I feel brave today.
I have nothing else to do.
I'm not going to say any names.
Okay.
I'm not going to mention names of this. I'm dead serious. But you had a situation that I know of years and years ago where someone was using your jokes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and. How do you deal with that mentally?
I didn't handle it. I don't think I handled it great. The real answer is, I mean, there's a guy, and I'm not going to say his name, where I was on a cruise working because mm-hmm. God hates me. And I wrote a bit that I have now. That's it's a really solid bit.
Yeah.
And the basic concept is there was a service dog that was literally half pit bull and half chihuahua.
Okay.
Okay. And it's
so
like,
far, so good.
Right. I was like, that's not a service dog. That's a crime scene. And I go on and it's going to come into the show tonight. But he did it. He had me on a Zoom show and did my joke in front of me. He's such a joke thief. He doesn't realize. And we toured with the same guy. He was doing his jokes. I mean, so it's, but you can't pull the wool over the business's eyes and you cannot fake funny. He's a fake. He's not a comic.
Yeah.
He's a guy who's like, I'm like, I will learn how to play piano, but you have no soul, dude. You got no rhythm, brother.
Yeah.
You can't fake this.
Same reason I can't dance.
Right. There you go. So this person, I came at them angry, which is not the good thing. The best thing to do is go, listen, the only answer is to write more.
Yeah.
That's the only real answer. Because I'm powerless over what other people are doing. And I don't even know if this person is still in the business.
Yeah.
And honestly, I got rid of the bit. I went, all right, take it.
That's what I would, I think I would do too.
Go, okay.
Just say fine.
If you can, because it's not my essence. It was flat. I think if I know the bit, it's smoke and mirrors. It was like, oh, this is the universe telling you, this is beneath you.
Yeah.
If anybody can do this, then it's not you. So it has to be from my point of view, my perspective, something that's unique to me. I tell jokes about my parents having an intervention about my dancing. Nobody else can steal that because it's my experience. I talk about, I don't know, my wife being from Holland. You can't steal that.
Right.
So that's where I go, okay, now I got to up my game. So it's a lesson for me. So it's a help. Thank you for stealing it. No, I don't mean that. I really don't mean that.
Don't steal jokes, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, don't steal jokes.
Need to do is come see Rich this weekend here at the Carlson. Tickets are on sale now, carlsoncomedy.com. Follow at Rich's Funny wherever you follow anyone, on the street, in the subway, wherever you follow him, do it. Rich Aronovich, it was really nice having you here today, and I hope to see you next time. I'm sure that you'll be back.
Are you going to come to the shows?
Yes, absolutely.
Really?
I'm 100% coming. I'm probably going to, you know what, I'm going to be there, definitely 1,000% be there tomorrow night.
There's only 100%. You can't come 10 times. 1,000,
yeah.
You'd have to come 10 times.
100,000%.
Tomorrow night?
I'll be there tomorrow night, and there's a chance I might even be there tonight.
Awesome.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is this week's Carlson Cast. Thank you. Make sure you do us a favor and listen, review, rate us. 5 stars, please. We will see you next week. Act right. Until then, we'll see you at a show. Thank you for being awesome and watching another episode of the Carlson Cast. Don't forget, we're streaming live on Facebook and YouTube every Friday morning. You could also follow us on social media on Twitter and Instagram at CarlsonCast. You can listen anytime on iTunes, Google Play, and we're now available on Spotify. You should also check out an amazing app called Laughable. And on the Laughable app, you can connect to your favorite comedians in a way you never thought you could before. Download it in the App Store and visit CarlsonCast.com for information on more shows. And don't be a jerk. Rate and review.